Well, good morning. It is good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. How many of you like bowling? How many of you like to bowl? Raise your hands. Okay. We went bowling last night as a church. I didn't see those of you who like to bowl there, but there was a fair amount of you who didn't raise your hand. So I can't remember whether I bowled 300 or 150 in two games. Something like that. That's what happened. But we had fun last night and appreciate Josh and his wife Bethany organizing that. And we hope to have maybe in the future some more outings here in the community. Maybe we can all go snow skiing together. Right? There's so much to do here in the winter. Ice skating, hockey, right? As a church, that'd be fun. But yeah, that was fun last night. We had a good time. I also want to thank Anthony and Amanda the other week. And for those of you who made pies, we handed out around 40 pies here in Decorah, randomly to people's homes as a random act of kindness, and got emails and cards saying thank you. It brightened up my Thanksgiving. And so I just appreciate them coming up with that creative idea to say, hey, let's spread some cheer this time of the year and hand out some pumpkin pies here in the community. And people appreciated that. I think one guy left a message on our answering machine. He was in his 90s, and he just said, you know, to have these kids come to my door and drop off a pie, it meant everything to me. And I thought, wow, that was so cool. Very neat. So I appreciate them. Well, today we are starting a new series, Fear Not, Fear Not. And we're going to look at the birth story of Christ over the next 3 weeks. And angels appeared in the birth story three different times. And each time in that story, they said, fear not. Or depending on the version you're reading, do not be afraid. And we're going to ask the question, well, why did they say this? Why did they say fear not? And we're going to, over the next 3 weeks here leading up to Christmas, give some possible explanations around this subject of fear and what we should fear and what really we shouldn't fear. And today I want to talk to you about the fear of what God has planned for us. The fear of what God has planned for us. A lot of times we treat God like the annoying person that wants something from us. I don't know if you have any of these people in your life, but when the phone rings, you may let it go directly into voicemail. Or you're shopping at Walmart and you see them and you may say, there's old so-and-so, and you might go the opposite way with a shopping cart. Right? Nobody does that, right? Sometimes we unknowingly can treat God that way. Sometimes we can unknowingly treat God that way. We want to be close enough to God to get the good stuff, that is his blessings and the promise of heaven, but I don't want to be so surrendered to God that he has access, total access to every area of my life. Because if I'm completely surrendered everything to him, then he might make me do something I don't want to do. He might make me go to Africa, or he might make me give up something I really enjoy doing. He might, you might say, he may make you marry someone ugly, or what if I give it all to him and life doesn't go the way I want it to go? What if I lay it all down and say, here's my life, Jesus, I give it all to you, and it doesn't go the way you want it to go? Fear can overwhelm us and overtake us. And a lot of people will say, fear is the absence of faith. Fear is the absence of faith. And I would say this, fear is faith just in the wrong things. Fear is actually faith just in the wrong things. Fear is faith in the what ifs. What if the economy falls apart? What if I lose my job? What if someone I love gets cancer? What if I never get married? What if I get married to a jerk? What if we have kids and they look like the jerk? Right? What if? Fear is placing our faith in the worst case scenarios. And sometimes our mind can just begin to play tricks on us, and we can kind of go down a road that we just imagine things and see things getting worse and worse in our life. And fear can take us down that road. In fact, it reminds me of a TV commercial by DirecTV where this guy is sitting in his house and he thinks he sees something outside and he begins to panic, and then he begins to take all these steps where he fakes his death. And, well, let's just play the clip and you can see for yourself where fear can take us irrationally if we allow it to.
When you wait forever for the cable guy, you get bored. When you get bored, you start staring out windows. When you start staring out windows, you see things you shouldn't see. When you see things you shouldn't see, you need to vanish. When you need to vanish, you fake your own death. When you fake your own death, you dye your eyebrows. And when you dye your eyebrows, you attend your own funeral as a guy named Phil Schifley. Don't attend your own funeral as a guy named Phil Schifley.
Alrighty, yeah, I don't know, fear, we can just, right, see something and we think, oh my goodness, and just all this anxiety wells up inside of us. I can be overcome by fear in irrational ways. A few months ago, the perfect storm hit. Monica and I, we had just given some money to a friend who was in need, and Monica then went to the dentist and she found out she needed, of all things, gum surgery. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Surgery on your gums. $6,800. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of money for your gums. And she's like, well, I need it or my teeth are going to fall out. I'm like, well, I guess we could get it then. You know? And so then I went to see a financial advisor and he said, Ed, you're going to need about $1.5 million in order to be able to retire. And I said, retire? I can't even afford to pay for my wife's gums. You know? Does God have a plan for all this? Yes, he does. Why is it we are so afraid of God's plan? Why is it we are so afraid of God's plan sometimes? Well, first point there on your bulletin on the back for those of you taking notes is this. God's interruptions are often inconvenient. God's interruptions are often inconvenient. Let's look here in the birth story as we dive in at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. The angel Gabriel. You know, this is not the angel that you might think of that is a fat, bald angel playing a harp on a cloud. These are fierce, warlike creatures who are able to strike down a nation at God's command, and yet submissive enough to care for an innocent child. And so that's the type of angel we're talking about here, if you want to get a picture in your mind of what that might look like. So let's continue on here. In verse 27 and 29 says this. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. I would be trying to think the same thing. What do you mean the Lord is with me? Talk about an interruption in her life. What we would call an interruption, God would call an invitation. What we would call an interruption, God would call an invitation. When God interrupts you, he is often inviting you to something higher or something better. How about I give you some examples from the Bible? Take, for instance, Moses. Moses, his ordinary day was interrupted with what? A burning bush. And God invited Moses to be the deliverer of his people. How about Jonah? Jonah's swimming to shore was interrupted by a great fish. And God invited him to go back and preach to the people of Nineveh. What about Saul? What did God do with Saul? Saul's journey on the road to Damascus to kill or persecute Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem was interrupted by a bright light from heaven. God spoke to him, and Saul became Paul and an apostle. That was the invitation he was given. And so here's what I believe. I believe we shake off God's invitations when he really wants to do something new and different in our lives. I believe we shake off God's invitations when he really wants to do something new and different in our lives. Some of you, you have your own interruption stories. Right? Maybe you weren't a churchgoer, you weren't a very religious person, but a friend or a spouse or a neighbor invited you to church, and they kept begging you to come, and you came, and you were touched that day, maybe by a song, maybe by the message. You're like, man, that message was right for me. That message spoke to me. You know, from time to time, I'll hear people say, it was like you were following me around that week. No, I wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit. And so you felt that God spoke to you. You felt yourself being drawn to God. And then at the end of service, you find yourself praying a prayer in which you ask God to forgive you for your sins. And what you thought was an interruption in your life became an invitation to something way better. Now, maybe you have a friend, and that friend is in the hospital, and you're saying, I don't have time for this, but you go to visit that friend, and you realize it's an invitation from God. Right? You speak to them, God gives you the words, and they're encouraged, and there's this spiritual high. Because you've been used by God for something very specific. Now maybe you come to church on Sunday morning, and during the offering you hear me talk about that connection card and how on the back you can serve in an area where help is needed, like in the nursery or with the little kids or in the food area. And you're like, well, they really seem to need help in the four-year-olds. And you're like, I don't even like four-year-olds. But you sign up for it, and then 2 months later down the road, you're like, this is the greatest hour of my week. I love teaching those kids. What happened? What happened? God invited you to something better along the way. But what do? I'll tell you what we often do. We often shake it off, like that song by Taylor Swift. I'm going to sing that right now. No, I'm not. But we do. We shake it off. Whoa, Ed, you almost had me there. I actually thought about signing up and serving in this church. Woo! But I'm going to shake it off, right? Right? I thought about joining a small group at the start of the new year, getting involved with other couples in church, studying God's word, praying together. But I think I can shake it off, right? What you're saying is convicting, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to push it off. So what does the angel say to Mary? What does the angel say to Mary? In essence, the angel says, I got something different for you. I'm inviting you to something way better. I got something different for you. Let's continue on here in the story in Luke 1, verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary. Fear not, Mary. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have what? Found favor with God. You know what I would have done? I would have said, praise the Lord. God, I found favor with God, Monica. He's going to provide for your gum surgery. I just know we're going to win the lottery. I just feel it, right? We're going to win the lottery. We found favor with God. That's got to be the plan. Go out. Let's buy some tickets tonight. No. Nope. Second point here. God's purpose is often different than your plans. God's purpose is often different than your plans. Let's continue on here. Luke 1, verses 31 through 33. Here's his plan. All right, you're not going to win the lottery. You're going to win a different lottery. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. You know, Mary's mind had to be racing. I mean, had to be racing. Wow. I've been chosen. What an honor. What an invitation from God. But back then, to be pregnant out of wedlock was a sin to be punishable by death by stoning. Honor, fear, right? Honor, fear had to come in. And imagine the fear of her having to tell Joseph. Right? Explain this, right? Well, Joseph, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and now I'm going to have this child. And Joseph's like, no, I'm not buying that story. I don't know how you cooked that up. But God says this, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my purposes higher than yours. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my purposes higher than yours. How might this play out in your life? Well, maybe you always dreamed of having the perfect, healthy family. That's been your dream, right? But then you realize you're getting a child with special needs. Well, you have no idea the blessing this child is going to be. And they're going to bring you closer to God. You may lose your job one day and say, God, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. How am I going to pay the bills? And then all of a sudden, those thoughts in the back of your mind, how you wanted to start a business years ago, are going to kick in, and you're going to start that business, and you're going to be like, wow, what I thought was a curse actually turned out to be a blessing. Or maybe like this. I thought I was going to marry that person. I was convinced that we were going to get married, but then we broke up, and now I've been miserable for a long time. However, God has been preparing the perfect person for me. I didn't see it at the time, but I'm so glad I waited now. Let me tell you, Mary, she couldn't see it at the time. In fact, let's continue on here. Luke 1:34. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I don't see it. How can this happen? Right? I am a virgin. I don't see this happening right now in my life at this time. I just don't see it. God, I don't see how I can forgive someone after all they've done to me. I just don't see how I can forgive them. I don't see how I can be generous and trust you when I have nothing to give right now. I don't see how I'm ever going to be reconciled to my child or this family member. I just don't see it. I don't see how our marriage could be healed after all that's been done. God, I don't see how you can heal this person I love so much after what the doctor just said. I don't see it. This is where Mary was at this point in time. Let's continue on in the story. Luke 1:35 through 37. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." For what? "For nothing is impossible with God." Isn't that a great verse? "For nothing is impossible with God." I don't know what obstacles you're facing here today in your life. It may be with a loved one. It may be with a child. Maybe at work. But undoubtedly, there is some obstacle right now because it's stirring in the back of your mind. And here's what you need to know. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. We serve a God who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present. And with one word, one spoken word, he can intervene in any situation. So what are you saying? I'm saying you need to keep your antenna up. Why? Because God may ask you to believe and to do something that seems impossible. He may just do that today. He may ask you to do and believe something that just seems impossible. Right? In your marriage, in the workplace, in your family. Some of you, you know what that is. You know right now. You know immediately what that is. What he's asking you to believe. Others of you, you may pray a few days before God reveals that to you. For some of you, it may be to reconcile a relationship that's gone bad. Or it may be to go back to college. Or to change majors. To take a career step in the other direction than you are going, right? For some of you, maybe to reach out to someone who's far from God. You're like, man, they'd never come. They'd never come to church. But I feel like God wants me to invite them to church. I just feel it. But man, they're just far. Man, they're heathens. And I'm a heathen, but they're really a heathen. Right? Maybe God is calling you to start a new ministry. He's birthing a desire and a vision in your heart and a passion. And it's welling up inside of you. And each time you begin to move forward or you start to do it, right? Satan says, no, you can't do it. You can do it. All things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. And with one spoken word, he can intervene in any situation. So what is he asking you to do and believe today that seems to be impossible? Trust him. Trust him. Now, when you get ready to respond, here's what you need to remember. Remember this. Outcome, this is a key point on your bulletin. Outcome is his responsibility. Obedience is yours. Outcome, that's his responsibility. You leave that in God's hands. You may say, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I feel this prompting. I know God wants me to do this. I know he wants me to talk to this person. I know he wants me to start this business. Outcome, how it turns out, that's his responsibility. You leave that in God's hands. Obedience is yours. How about some examples? Ed, I've been feeling for a while that I need to get connected with some families here, get to know some people, build some relationships. I feel like God, at the start of this new year in January, he wants me to sit out there at one of those tables you set up and have a small group in my own home. I have a nice home. I have plenty of seating. I feel that's what God wants me to do. And I know I'll be there because it's at my house. Right? And so I'll be there. Maybe you're like, I feel like God wants me to give a big year-end gift to the church. I'd shake that one off. Right. What? Are you serious? Maybe it's some bad pizza you ate last night, right? No. Outcome is his responsibility. Obedience is yours. Maybe you have three kids, and you feel like, I think God wants us to have another kid. I think he wants us to be foster parents. I think he wants us to adopt, but I don't know how. We only have a three-bedroom house. How is this going to happen? I don't see. But I feel that God is birthing this desire and this vision and passion in my heart. You just surrender, and you say, okay, God, not my will, but your will be done. I want your will to be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Like a teenage girl in her mind, she couldn't see how this was possible. It blew her circuits. Sometimes you're there. You're like, I don't see how this is possible. Right, based on the situation and the circumstances in my life, but I know and I feel God is calling me to do this, to step out in faith and to trust him and to believe him. All things are possible with God. So what does Mary do here? How does she respond? Luke 1:38. Let's look at it. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. Right, hands open. Arms open. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. What does Mary do here? She reminds herself who she is and who she belongs to. I am the Lord's servant and I belong to him. You know the same is true of you. You are the Lord's servant, and you belong to him. You're not, your life is not your own. You were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In a few minutes here, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And we're going to talk about the bread, his body that was broken. We're going to talk about the juice, his blood that was shed. For you. He died for you. You now belong to him. And so Mary reminds herself who she is and who she belongs to. I am the Lord's servant. Right? And my life belongs to him. So Lord, do with me what you want. I will do it. I will be obedient. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust you. What is God asking you to do today? What's he asking you to do? He's asking you to step out in faith and trust him in your current situation. That's what he's asking you to do. Step out in faith, believe, and trust him. Oh, my favorite verse is Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know why that's my favorite verse? Because it gives me hope that he began a good work in me and he's not going to abandon me along the side of the road, but he's going to carry it on to completion until the day Christ Jesus comes back for me. Oh, that's good news. His divine power, Peter says, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. What is he calling you to do today? Some of you, you know exactly what he's calling you to do. Others of you, you might take a few days to pray about that before he reveals it to you. Outcome, that's his responsibility. Obedience is your responsibility. Maybe you're here today and you say, Ed, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. I just came today to check this out, but I feel like God wants me to step out in faith and trust him. My life is empty. There's a void. I've been following my own purposes and my own plans, and I'm ready today to give my life to Him. Well, in a minute, we're going to pray a prayer and aid you in that process. Now, it's not the words of the prayer per se, but it's the heart behind the words. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And if you say, Ed, that's me, I need Jesus because I realize my plans have fallen short in my life. And I want something new in my life. I want something different in my life. I believe God has something new and different for you in your life. I really do. You are special to Him. He knows everything about you. In Psalm 139, it says, He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows when you sit and when you stand. He perceives your thoughts from afar. He knows what you're thinking. All right. Like, I don't know if I want Him to know what I'm thinking sometimes. He knows. He's not aloof. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, and I feel this war, this battle going on inside of me, because I know what He wants me to do, I just don't want to do it. Man, I'm there. All right, there's a lot of times where God is telling me, Ed, you need to do this, or you need to go there, and I'm like, I don't want to do it. Sometimes I don't do it. Sometimes I do it. And so I want to pray for you, my brothers and sisters, that God would give you the strength and the courage to be obedient. I'm reading through the Gospel of Matthew here, and I'm just circling around it, finishing it, reading it again. In Matthew chapter 1, it says that Joseph, when he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do and took Mary home to be his wife. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. I'm praying for you that you would do what God is commanding you, what He's laying on your heart today, and say, God, I'm going to do it. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how they're going to react. I don't know. I just believe that's what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm praying that God would give you the strength and the courage today and the boldness to do it. And with that, let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, Lord, we thank You for Your word. It certainly challenges us. And I pray today that what may look to be an interruption in people's lives, that they would see as actually an invitation to something higher and better than they could ever believe or imagine. And that they would accept that invitation and not shake it off. Maybe you're here today and God is calling you. You're like, I know He's calling me to surrender what I've been holding on to. Maybe it was pride, maybe it was stubbornness. Maybe you are dragged here today and you're like, you know what? This place isn't half bad. And now that I'm here, I actually feel myself being drawn by God, by the Holy Spirit. I know this message was for me, and I'm ready right now to give Him my heart. I don't understand it totally, and that's okay. I just know that I want Jesus, and I need forgiveness. And if that's you with heads bowed and eyes closed, then I would just ask that you softly and quietly repeat these words in your heart. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask You to forgive me for my sins. I thank You for dying on the cross for me. I ask You to come into my heart and change me and make me like You. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here today and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I got some things right now I'm just wrestling with. And maybe it's a little foggy or it's a little unclear, or maybe it is clear and you're just like, I'm not really sure. I don't know if I want to do that. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me that I would be obedient, that I would step out in faith, even though it looks a little murky or a little blurry, or I'm not sure what's going to happen when I step over to the other side? Would you pray for me? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that just like Joseph, when he found out that his wife was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and had all kinds of reservations, he stepped out and he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. Lord, give us the strength and the power and the boldness to do what your word commands us to do. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name.